Father, again, we thank you. We thank you for the season that we have and Christmas. Father, I know that you're a God who cares and loves us. And you're a God who takes care of us every moment of the day. Father, you took care of us when you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, you are continuing to do so. Lord, tonight as we open your word and as we just dive into Scripture, I pray that you would reveal it to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Did you guys get bulletins? You know what? I made a full sheet. Would you go to the copier and grab it off of there? She asked me if I wanted her to do a bulletin, and I told her, no. I got this. Of course, if I had it, you'd have had it. So I'm going to leave this on if you don't mind, because I'm going to get tangled up if I don't. So just information. You'll notice that the chairs are spaced differently. They're spaced differently because we've got neighbors that want to look in the door, and they want to, you know, report that we're not sitting separately. And I want to be at peace with our neighbors, and I want to be at peace with our government. So if you'll just pay attention to that. I'm not going to force you to wear a mask, but we did. I don't know if you know this or not. As a church, we've been approved to meet up to 100 folks. So get busy. We got to get about 80 more folks in here. You got it? Virgil, you got that? All right. All right, second to the last sermon of 2020. And we're going to look at Jesus' flight to Egypt. Now, Jesus didn't actually fly to Egypt, but that's what we should approach his life after Christmas. And after Christmas, that's what took place in his life. He had to make a run for it. Christmas Day has come and gone, and it was full of excitement in some of our lives. So we get, I hope your day was filled with wonder, and as I know mine was, and just the awesomeness of being with family. And the love of being with family, and some of us this year are without family for the first time, and some of us wish we were without family. No, I'm just kidding. But here's what's so funny. We count up to Christmas, like, you know, 50 days till Christmas, 30 days till Christmas, and you never hear anybody say 30 days till Halloween. Or except my kids, because they want candy. You never hear that, right? So there's an anticipation that comes with Christmas. By the way, it's 308 days to Halloween, just so you know. If you're counting, oh, it was for Dylan. He's not even here. And listen, there's no such thing as Black Friday for any other holiday. So there's really one thing that you prepare for and that you count down to, one holiday that we do really do this for, is Christmas. We count down to, we prepare for. Think about it. The next holiday is New Year's, right? And New Year's, even on that night, you don't start counting until that morning. And then only because you got to figure out what you're going to do to stay up until midnight, right? Because as I get older, the minutes become harder to stay up. When my kids were in high school, they had a a party at the house with the coach and his wife, and they were all there, and it was they were trying to stay up till midnight, and okay, I was trying to stay up till midnight, and I couldn't do it. I'm like watching the ball drop, and actually, Toga, I'd rather be, you know, somewhere way east, New York, you know, so that we can go to bed early, because we just don't do that. And really, when we count down at New Year's, we only do it for about 30 seconds, and maybe even 10, right? And there's something special about Christmas and the expectation that leads up to it. And the bad thing is, the expectation ends. All this time, we get up, we watch the kids with the gifts, we make phone calls, we do FaceTime, we eat a very special meal, and then we grab that all-important nap, and then we get up and eat another all-important meal, right? And then we watch White Christmas for the umpteenth time, and then we go to bed, all to wake up to the next day with your house full of glitter and toys all over the place, and kind of a bummer, isn't it? We think about it. We have this Christmas, but what about now? The year is going to end. Christmas holiday ended Friday this year. Next year, it'll be a Saturday, right? And on a Saturday, it's a whole lot easier to say, what are we going to do today? On a Friday, we say, I guess we go to work, right? How many of you go to work the day out? Christmas is on a Tuesday, you'll go to work on Wednesday, right? We just get back to the normal routine of things. And it's just another day for some. And now after Christmas, look at Scripture with me. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 13. It says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I've called my own son. The birth of Jesus Christ was filled with drama from very beginning to the very end. The very beginning, when this soap opera-like beginning started, a virgin finds out she's pregnant. That's drama in the highest. To this, right, top to bottom, it was a drama thing. And then the revolution that Joseph was going to, that this was God, and it was going to be Joseph's job to accept this bunk of a story. When you think about it, this story of Mary, his girlfriend, who's going to have a baby with somebody else, and oh, by the way, it's God. And so, now we have this trip to Egypt. Right. And by the way, the whole reason they went to Bethlehem was why? Census to be counted, right? So they were going to Egypt, right? And then, going to Bethlehem. Sorry, my bad. And this situation, they didn't get to go check into a hotel. You know, if I'm going to go home, I'm going to make some reservations. Right? We're going to go make some reservations. We're going to check in. They didn't get to do that. They had to stay inside of a barn, right? So be honest. How weirded out would you be if you were visited by angels? And these guys, gold, frankincense, and myrrh guys, remember those guys? Right? They're the ones who came to see Jesus and started the whole rigmarole. They're the ones that said, oh, by the way, King Herod's coming. He's looking for you to kill you or to kill your baby. So now we've entered into fear, right? So Joseph's being told by God, I want you to get up again. Seems like they're always moving, isn't it? So now, here's what you're going to have to do. In order to find out what's next, as we find out what Jesus had to find out what's next, number one, we have to listen for God. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, said, get up, take the child, his mother, escape to Egypt, stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. Now you have to believe at this point that Mary and Joseph understand that God has their ear. God has the ability to speak to them because everything that God has said so far is coming true or has come true, right? So they are in the habit, right, of listening to God at this point. So they've been sold, right? And then I want you to notice the difference here. It says, I want us to understand the difference between listening to God and hearing God. You know what I mean? I think that's what I want to communicate to you. We can listen to a lot of things. You can listen to Andy and Dylan and Becca and Beth sing worship songs. And you can get a lot out of them if you listen to them and you hear them. Right? Until you realize that God is speaking to you in person and you're hearing God, you're not going to understand what God has for you to say. So you need to listen with active ears. Be actually hearing God. And it's way too hard to hear God when you're zoned out, when you're watching your Christmas movies. It's too hard to hear God when you're out shopping. It's hard to hear God. You know what I'm talking about? It's hard to hear God with all this noise, all this distraction, all this stuff being said right next to you. Because if you believe it, right? If you believe that Jesus Christ came so that he could die on a cross, if you believe this stuff to be true, right? You're going to listen for that story. We have to hear God. I'm going to read another set of scriptures. Hopefully, not too long. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, may the gods deal with me. May it ever be so severely that if this by this time tomorrow, I do not make your like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree and sat down under it. and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay under the tree and fell asleep. And all at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was the cake and the bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" he replied. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Do you see what's obvious about this scripture? The obvious point of this scripture is that in all those things, all those negative things, one person finds God. Somebody else finds God's whisper. Do you understand? The world is making all this noise. You're going to be making all this noise come Boxing Day. That's the Canadian putting your Christmas tree away day, just so you know. Come Boxing Day, you're going to make all this noise putting it away. You're going to make all this noise on New Year's Eve. All this noise in life that goes around you, but you need to be listening to what? The still, small voice. You have to train your ears to listen to that. If you're not training yourself to listen, you're liable not to hear it. In the midst of the storms, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of all these trials, all these things, are you listening to God's voice? Are you hearing what God is going to say? Listen to God next year. We're going to do a New Year's Eve sermon every year. We do one, right? But I'm looking forward to hearing God's voice in the new year. Not talking about how we ought to hear God's voice in the year that we just started celebrating, but how about we jump into the new year celebrating God's voice? We need to listen to God. Second thing we need to do is expect obstacles. He says, "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him." Doesn't sound like an easy thing, right? Joseph finds himself fleeing with his wife, right? King Herod decides that with his power, he's more powerful than God. That Jesus is going to be more powerful than God. So he decides he wants to kill Jesus, right? And after all this, they become a family. Do you know how they become a family? Because they get through the obstacles. They go through the things that they're supposed to do. It's tough being a family. Do you think that Joseph and Mary are looking for a little bit of calm in their life at this point? The obstacles that they previously faced would have paled in comparison to having to run for their lives. The obstacles of just trying to find their hometown, nothing compared to fleeing for your life. Right? We should expect obstacles, speed bumps. You're going to have to take a detour from time to time. You're going to have to go a different direction than you choose to go. And obstacles come at the worst time. Have we noticed that? That's when obstacles happen. And then things will not go the way you expect, if ever. So expect the obstacles. So what kind of obstacles should we expect? Number one, people. People are going to be stumbling blocks. They're going to be obstacles to us. Sometimes they're going to be there to trip us up. Sometimes not meaning to, but people are going to cause us to fall. Romans 14:13 says, therefore, let us no longer criticize one another, but instead decide not to put a stumbling block or a pitfall in your brother's way. This is a warning for us not to be an obstacle to somebody else. But it should also warn us that other people are going to be obstacles for us. You have to see this both ways. You have to see it that yes, you're going to have to not be an obstacle, but at the same time, other people will be an obstacle in your life. It used to drive me nuts when my dad would say, well, you need to forgive them. And I'd say, well, why do I need to forgive them when they don't forgive me? And he'd say, well, because that's what we're supposed to do. That's the biblical thing to do. I said, well, when is it their time? When is it their time to forgive? He says, that's not what you're here to ask the question about, is it? This is your time. So, along with people, there's going to be problems. Problems are going to arise in our lives. And the first reaction that we tend to have, what is it? Worry. We're concerned. And what does Jesus say about worrying? It's going to kill you. Worry will kill you, if not physically, but by causing spiritual and emotional problems in your life. It'll suck the life out of you if you let your problems become an obstacle, right? And along with people and problems, you also have to deal with persecution. Persecution is a big word, right? Also addressed on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:43 and 44, says, you have heard that it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. There's that verse my dad was talking about. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why do I have to do that? Because you're the one I'm dealing with. If you're living the life that God intended for you to live, you should expect persecution. If you're living the life that God intended you to live, you should expect that. The ones who don't expect it, they don't belong to God. It's kind of a weird dichotomy when you think about it, right? Just recognize this, that they're not a part of God's kingdom. So that question that you have to ask yourself, why do I have to do that? It doesn't apply to them. And I want to say this to you with a whole heart, with my whole heart, I will say this to you, and I've said it to my family members who are Christians and who hold Christianese over the heads of people who aren't believers. You can't expect a person who doesn't know Jesus Christ to not be an unforgiven sinner. The gender references, gender roles that we play, all the gender games that we play. Oh, well, God can't love that person. They're this. Well, I'm sorry. God loved me, and I was kind of probably a bad person too. Gender roles, we do that. We do the, well, that person, he's so bad. Well, then, no. And I used to have a sister, well, she's still my sister. I have a sister that I used to not talk to because she was a lesbian. I said, well, God doesn't want me to talk to her. Because if she's a lesbian, I can't hang out with her. That's not found in Scripture. Matter of fact, just the opposite is found in Scripture. That I'm supposed to love her with the love of the Lord. Whew. Am I getting a little preachy? Persecution should be the norm, but not an obstacle for us. You know, persecution is what's going to happen, but we're not supposed to persecute people. So we have people, problems, persecution, and the last thing would be priorities. To be more specific, wrong priorities. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right, as well. So what are your priorities? Keeping your main thing, your main thing. You've heard that say, kind of a trite little thing, but it's true. What is your main thing? Loving the Lord with all your heart. Right? Man, your main thing has got to be God. It's got to be a well-lived life for Christ. That's got to be your main thing. That's got to be my main thing. And if not, you can expect that to be an obstacle. And you can quote me on that one, I promise. So, what keeps you from being all that God wants you to be? Flexibility, right? What does it say? So he got up in verse 14. It says he got up and he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. After all this thing they had to go through in Bethlehem, Joseph got another call from God, says, hey, Mary, you got to go and go to Egypt, right? And of course, wouldn't it be easier for God just to not let Jesus die? Think about that for a moment. We believe in who God is. Wouldn't it be just easier for God to say, Herod, you're out of here? That's not what God had in mind. He had obedience in mind for Mary and Joseph. And prophecy had to be fulfilled. Yet prophecy, I I know a Baptist that believes in prophecy. Doesn't come around very often, but it does, right? So, be flexible. Do you think that maybe interrupted Mary and Joseph's life? Mm-hmm. It's one thing to have convictions, but it's another thing to be so rigid that you break in the middle of stress. Have a conviction, but when your conviction is pushed and bent, if you break, then you're not doing what God told you to do. Matter of fact, let's look at Acts chapter 7. I know I said it was almost done, but I think we need to read this. And I want to see what the Bible says about this. Stephen, 7:51 of Acts. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. I'm not sure how, never mind. You are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. How flexible are you going to be? Are you so rigid that keeping the Spirit of God from working in your life that you are not going to be flexible enough to let Him work in your life? Are we that rigid? So we have to be flexible. And fourthly, we have to rely on God's word. Look at verse 15. Where he stayed until the death of Herod. Because God's word said that's where he'd be, out of Egypt. And he was so fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Hosea 1:1. The word of the Lord, right? This is the prophecy here. The word of the Lord that he came to Hosea in son of Beeri during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. Time and time again, we read that phrase over and over again in relation to the life of Christ. Right? Jesus Christ was prophesied to come in the way he came. This journey, this next step was prophesied as it was supposed to be. Now you either believe everything about God's word or you don't believe any of this. Right? You see, every word that has been ever penned in the Bible has come true. And it is an answer. And the one thing that never changes in your life is God's word. Matter of fact, listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 40. It says, the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. All men are like grass, 1 Peter. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands again forever. Right? This is why we can rely on God's word. This is why we can rely on it, because it's been proven, it's been faithful, it's been correct. It's been accurate and to the point, and it will not steer us in the wrong direction. When you ask the question, what now? His word tells you what now. Christmas has come and gone this year, but it ain't over. You're no longer in the dark. All the lights come down, but we're not in the dark. Have you found that your faith in Christ alone for salvation? What does he say? There is no other name under heaven. That's what he says. And you know, we don't preach it enough sometimes. We don't preach the gospel enough sometimes. We need to teach that God is on his throne forever. We need to teach people whom we think are broken that God can heal them. We need to teach those people. When we believe that, this is where I get political. When we believe that we've been praying for God to allow us to have church again, and somebody who is ungodly, as I know, says, well, you can have up to 100, then you better put 100 people in this building. Amen? That's exactly what we need to be doing. How do we do it? I don't know. Give away a backpack. Have an ice cream feed. I can't tell you. I don't know. Right? Whatever it is, we'll figure it out together. But we have to fulfill that calling in faith to share the love of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that we're able to hear it. My Father, I personally thank you for being healthy enough to share it. Lord, I pray tonight that as we go home, that you would give us vision in our hearts, in our minds. Give us the vision, Lord, to see where we're to minister. Help us to see the blind spots. Help us to see the dark spots. And when we see them, Lord, I pray that we would show light and provide sight. We thank you again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.